Hi, everybody. This is the Ramble Redhead Show, and I'd like to welcome you to yet another great episode. And today's special guest is a gentleman by the name of Casey, and he is a new listener to the program. And the reason why he's a listener to the program is because of the interviews that I did with Rich Merritt. And if you have been a long-time listener, you know that I did an interview with Rich Merritt just recently. And for the new listeners, like Casey here, is that was the interviews that I did with him, and that's episode 58, 59, and number 60. And so if you haven't listened to that show, I definitely would encourage you to do so. And also I encourage you to be a big subscriber of the program so you can always constantly get the show updates as they are posted. And what I'd like to do, first of all, is thank Rich for being on the show, but because he's brought a lot of great listeners, he's referred a lot of great people. I got a lot of other great interviews coming up with other authors, musicians, and a lot of people because of him. So I wanted us to give him props and thank you and thank him. And he's a hero of mine now. So without any further ado, I'm going to get right to Casey. So hey, Casey, how are you today?
I'm wonderful. How are you doing?
I am great, and it's such an honor to have you on the program. And I just want to tell the listeners again that because you're on the program today is because of what? What did you do?
What did I do?
Yeah, what did you do? You wrote to me.
Oh, I wrote you an email.
Yes, you did. You also, huh?
I wrote you a couple, I think.
Yes, you did. And it was way back in, I believe, June 19th, and you wrote me an email, and you said, and I want to read it. It says, "Hello, I just listened to part one and two of the interview with Rich Merritt. Great interview. It's nice to get to hear the voice of the man who wrote such a wonderfully honest book. And thanks, I can't wait for part three." And then me being a greedy podcaster, I sent you an email back and said, "Hey, thanks. How did you hear about us? You know, was it from his website? How did, you know, all that?" And then you wrote back, "I heard about the interview through his website, and I will check out your other interviews. Thank you." And so that's how it all began. And the thing is, I just want to let you know and let all my listeners know that anytime I get an email from any of my listeners, I automatically forward them to the guest, and I did forward your emails to Rich, and he said, "Tell him thank you so much for listening and checking out his website." So I wanted to thank you for that, and then you wrote me the email that we're going to be talking about on today's show about what had happened to you in your life, and I would like to just ask you a couple of general questions before we do that. But, again, can you tell the listeners where you're from?
Yeah, I'm originally from Mountain Home, Idaho, and now I'm living in Boise, Idaho, which is the capital.
Okay, great. And how are things in that neck of the woods?
Pretty good. It's hot, though.
Yeah, how hot was it today?
I think it was up to, like, 97.
Whoa. Yeah, that's a little toasty. Is it always that hot like that?
In the summertime, yeah.
Yeah, it's pretty. Is it over the hundreds then most of the time?
It's been over the hundreds a few times, yes.
Yeah. How about the wintertime? Is it really, really, really bad?
We haven't had really bad winters for a few years, but sometimes we get down to like minus 20. Those years suck.
Hey, will you give us your honest opinion?
Yeah.
Okay. You're supposed to laugh. Okay. And you are 29 years old.
Yes, I am.
And you're going to be 30 very, very soon, just 18 days away. Isn't that awesome? And all my lovely listeners are going to be able to know when we recorded this because I just gave it away. that's no big deal. And tell our lovely listeners how many brothers and sisters you have.
Well, I have 3 older brothers and 1 younger sister.
Okay. And I was just wondering, how old were you when you realized that you were gay?
Oh, Lord, for about as long as I can remember. Way back.
Way, way, way back. Okay. Well, one of the things that in the email, you sent me a very long email, and you told me a lot of details about what happened to you in your life. And I was just wondering if you could maybe start from the very beginning then, and And what was your life like? Like, oh, that was awful. Edit. What was your life like growing up with your older brothers and your sister? Can you go from there?
Okay, well, growing up as the youngest, well, besides my sister who didn't live with us, long story there. But anyway, we fought all the time. It was fun. Drove my parents up the wall.
Okay, great. Well, that's what good brothers do to each other, right?
Yes.
Now, what are the ages of the brothers when you were, like, let's say when you were one, how old were they?
Okay, when I was one, my next oldest brother, Greg, was 3, and my brother James was 5, and my brother Joe was 6.
Oh, okay. So it's relatively pretty close to each other.
Yes.
Okay. And then I understand that your life was pretty much normal until you reached the age of about 5.
Yeah, that's when things went kind of screwy.
Okay. Can you tell us a little bit about that then?
Yeah, I'll start at the beginning.
Okay. All right.
It all started long ago
Once
on a
upon a
camping
time.
trip with my family. Exactly. I was on a camping trip with my family.
Okay.
And my brothers and I wandered off to this other campsite and met this guy who I probably shouldn't give out the name because I can get sued.
Okay, well then don't. Well, make up a fake name. Just
Yeah,
say
Satan.
Steve, huh?
I'll call him Satan. I've called him that a lot.
Okay. You said Satan, right?
Yes.
Okay, that's what I thought.
That's
Okay,
what.
go ahead. Go
Okay.
ahead, please.
We met Satan and his wife, and
Sorry, go ahead.
they seemed to be a really nice couple. My parents came over to get us, and I apologized, saying, "Sorry that my kids were wandering around. We do usually watch them, but they escaped." And we actually became friends with Satan and his wife. And about over the next 2 years, we spent a lot of time. He and I got close. He was like a second father to me, or so I thought. But he was kind of sick and twisted.
Okay. So can you tell us, what happened then? Or
Yeah,
why that
why
happened?
I'm bad about him. Yeah. About 2 years after we met him, I got to spend a week with him. Well, okay, I'll start before that. Long story.
Okay.
He started exposing himself to me about a year after I met him. He did it a little
Wow.
bit at first, so it didn't seem like anything was wrong. We go skinny dipping, and he was like, "Oh, guys, just do this," which I was young and I thought, "Oh, okay, if that's what he says." So fast forward a couple years later, when I was staying at his house, he again exposed himself and made me touch him, in an intimate place. Which
Right.
I thought was kind of weird, but he kept saying, just what guys do. It's normal. I was thinking, okay, never done that with my family before, but I trusted him. So about 3 days before I left, we went to go swimming, and he conveniently forgot his swimsuit. So he took us back to a wooded area where there was nobody there.
Right.
He was like, "Look, go skinny dipping." I'm like, "Okay." I was in the water, swimming around, having a good time. Then he called me over to him, and he proceeded to molest me.
Wow. Now, again,
Yeah.
just for the sake of the listeners, you were like 5 or 6 years old.
That is between 5 and 7, somewhere around there. I don't remember the
Okay,
exact
yeah.
age.
Still horribly young. Okay.
Oh, yeah.
So he molested you in this woods by the water then. Wow. And okay, please continue. I'm sorry, I didn't mean to cut you off. I just wanted to clarify
Okay.
there.
Okay, and then when it was all over, at first he kept telling me, "Everything's fine. This is just what guys do." But eventually I decided, no, this is wrong, and I just started hysterically crying for my mom. So then he got his clothes back on and calmed me down and said, "Let's go get some ice cream." Which I was like, "Ice cream? Cool." He knew how to get my mind off things. So as we were
Right.
walking back, he kept telling me how, this has to be our secret because no one would ever understand. If your parents found out, they'd be really mad at you, and they'd probably go make you live with a foster family.
Oh, God.
Yeah, looking back, it was totally stupid, but I believe what he said because I was, young and
Yeah,
impressionable.
you're 7 years old for, that's awful. Okay.
Yeah.
So, okay, what happened then?
Then we went back to his house, and pretty much nothing else happened that I remember that week, the rest of the week until we. Well, actually, let me say that again. Nothing happened again that I can remember, but there's portions I have blocked out.
Right.
That I just, big blocks of time that are empty.
Wow. Okay, so then what happened? Did you ever see him again? Did you?
Yeah, he still kept in contact with the family, but I used to sit like right next to them because they're like my other set of parents, he and his wife. I started keeping my distance from him, which he never said a word because he was afraid I would say something.
Well, did the wife say anything? Did the family say anything? Did
no,
did
no
they,
one said anything.
Did they? They didn't notice.
The parents,
what?
They noticed that I was sitting away from him.
Right.
But they just thought maybe I was upset with him or something. And they're
but
like,
they never...
"Ask me, everything's okay?" And I'm like, "Oh yeah, everything's fine."
Wow.
Yeah, because back then I didn't know how to explain it.
Right, because you didn't.
And there was
That constant fear that you had that maybe something was going to happen.
Yes, exactly. I didn't want to leave my family. I didn't want them to throw me away, so I just kept my little mouth shut. I just kept burying it down inside me.
Okay. So, what happened next?
Well, actually, I don't remember a whole lot from that period since I was so young, but all I remember is I didn't have an outlet to tell people what was wrong with me because there was something really wrong, but I tried to hide as best I could.
Okay, everybody, we just got cut off. We're back on live with Casey. Casey had just said about what had happened. Unfortunately, he had been molested by this gentleman that we unaffectionately call Satan. And okay, so you had, before you got cut off, you had mentioned that after all this had happened, you kind of distanced yourself away from this guy, and then you said a few years later, then you got cut off. What were we going to say?
His wife, which was really good for me, because then I wouldn't have to see him and face him. But I developed some, I had, no self-esteem, because I felt bad and guilty about what happened. Because, of course, I blame myself, being the strong man of seven that I was. I should have been able to stop him, blah, blah, blah. So I started eating to numb myself out, which is not a very good thing to do.
Right. So you had low self-esteem, you had a weight problem, and you pretty much were very upset with yourself because of what had happened. So how old were you at that point?
Is that what you said? Okay. I was around 9 years old about that time.
Yes. Okay. And, all right. So what were you doing then? I just want to kind of paraphrase what you said on your email, that you said you definitely weren't happy and that you kept, putting on an act for everyone, trying to appear normal. But what were you doing? What kind of things were you doing to portray that?
Oh, I was pretending to be happy all the time. Life was so perfect, no matter what went on. I was happy about everything, while inside I was miserable. It started affecting my schoolwork for a bit. I always had straight A's, but then my grades started slipping. And
right.
I lost most of my friends most of my male friends I couldn't talk to anymore because guys just scared the hell out of me. So I had one or two friends who were girls.
Mm-hmm.
And that was pretty much my social life through junior high.
Okay. And then how about high school?
High school, low self-esteem still. I felt bad about myself. Ugh, I beat myself up all the time. Not literally, but I was convinced that I was worthless and that I should just die.
Did you have suicide thoughts at that time?
I didn't have any suicidal thoughts until after I graduated.
Oh, really?
That's when I started. Yeah. I finally acknowledged what happened, and I still didn't want to tell anybody, but the thoughts just came to the top of my mind, and I went into a huge depression. Lasted about a year and a half, and one day I almost did kill myself, but I said I had this little divine intervention. I heard a voice telling me not to, which most people think sounds crazy, but I was there. I know it.
Wow. Well, see, go ahead. Go ahead.
Well, about then, I made a deal with God to get me out of Mountain Home because I was just in a rut. I couldn't get out of it. I was like, get me out of here, please. I'll start going to church. I'll do anything you need. Just get me the hell out of here.
Right.
And 2 weeks later, we moved to Boise.
Wow. That's pretty... But again, none of the family knew anything about this at all, right?
Well, after... Yeah, right. Well, right before we moved, I finally wrote my mom a letter telling her, because I've been trying to tell her, but I just couldn't find words for it. So I wrote her a nice little letter explaining what happened. She was surprised. And then she was angry, not at me, but at Satan.
Right.
She wanted to find him and rip his balls off.
Wow. Well, see, one of the other very influential at that time was your sister, Mandy. Mm-hmm. And she was a senior with you during high school at the same, you were both seniors at the time. And, and you said that she actually was the one that helped keep you in school because she obviously was seeing what was going on with you. And,
yes, she wouldn't buy any of my bullshit excuses for not showing up. Like, oh, I don't feel good. She'd get off your ass and get here.
Wow.
So I'd get up and go to school. Or if not, she'd come to my house and get me.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
And then you both kind of helped each other because you helped her with certain, like, government and things like that, classes. That,
mm-hmm.
And then she obviously helped you by, you know, keeping you motivated, keeping you going, and keeping encouraging you, right?
Yeah.
Wow.
Mm-hmm.
Well, that's great. And then I'm reading that not long after your graduation, you had something happen that didn't sound too much fun. What happened?
I'm trying to remember what I wrote.
You had surgery.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Pain.
1 week after I graduated. Yeah, there we go. I remember now. 1 week after I graduated, my gallbladder was removed.
Oh, nice.
With the, oh, yeah. And I developed a minor addiction to my pain pills.
Oh, my.
Yeah, but I was able to actually realize that I was taking the pills, not because I was in pain, but because I liked the effects of them, and I stopped cold turkey.
Wow.
Thank God.
So, yeah. Again, you're like 18 years old, right? 18, 19?
Yeah.
Wow. Mm-hmm. Okay, and now you mentioned about how you finally told your mom the truth. I mean, and obviously... You know, she was very, you know, supportive in trying to help you, but also, you know, understandably and justifiably very angry, you know, at what happened. Now, did you tell your sister at that time too?
I'd actually told her right before I told my parents.
Oh, you did? And what was her reaction?
She's like, I know how you feel. I'm here for you. If you ever need to talk, if you want me to be there when you tell mom, just let me know and I'll be there for you. She's like my total lifeline. Wow. Every time I have a problem, I just call her.
Yeah. Well, it sounds like she's a wonderful sister. And, you know, and that's what everybody wants in their life, to have somebody that you can really count on. And it sounds like she definitely is and will always be the one for you. So I'm very happy that you have that because, as you know, there's a lot of people who are part of our community, the GLBT community, that unfortunately... you know, may not have that. And the key thing I want you to know is that any of you that are young, that are listening to the show, that are maybe going through something like this, please don't wait. Please get help. Tell your parents, tell your counselors or whoever it might be, don't keep this inside, let it out. And then also if you have issues about being gay, please, come out when you're ready. Be comfortable with yourself and love yourself because, God has you here for a reason. I'm not going to get super religious on you, but I really think that everybody in this world has a reason why they're here. And it's very important to, to live your life with as much positiveness, happiness as you possibly can. And you're going to get that dream. You're going to find that, whatever that might be. And because, Casey, just to let you know, I as you tell these things, I mean, not that I was molested, but I'm just telling you that I had, those self-esteem issues too. And I felt, it was because I was gay and because I always was conflicted about it. And I felt bad about what happened to myself. And I was like, oh my God, and then I got harassed a lot during school. And it was very, very bad, and I really haven't gone in a lot of detail about it on the podcast, but I'm just, I guess maybe what you have said, it really kind of, made me think about what happened to me, and it was really, really awful, and the thing is that I've never gone back to any high school reunions because of that very reason. I just don't want to deal with these things. I kind of want to put it behind me and, let it go. I mean, it's just really, really tough. And
High school is
okay,
hell.
so, huh?
High school is hell.
Yeah, exactly. And see, the thing is that if you'd have told me 20 years ago or 20 years later or ago that I would be doing what I'm doing today, doing the job that I have today, doing this podcast and talking with all these, wonderful people that I've had the pleasure of talking to, including yourself, that I would have just went, yeah, right. I never would have all the things that I've done in the last 10 years have begun because of the changes that I've made in my life. And so it's truly amazing. Now, okay, get off my box about me, but we're here to talk about you. So after you had the surgery, so what happened next for you?
That was about the time that my little Great Depression started.
Okay.
I wasn't just angry at myself. I couldn't be angry at anyone else, so I decided to be angry with God, which, it's not really healthy for you.
Right.
That's part of why I made the deal with him, like, get me out of here. I'll try to start seeing your way. But I knew that life just would not be going on for me in Mountain Home. I
Right.
still, to this day, don't like going back. Too many bad memories there.
Right. So after you complete high school, I mean, well, according to your email, there's quite of a years of from when you talk about how your parents were very supportive, and then the next paragraph you talk about, you worked at a couple different jobs and like fast food and things like that.
Yeah.
And
Horrible,
then you just,
horrible, boring jobs. That
yeah, well, most places at fast food are,
is true.
but, and anybody who's working at fast food that's listening, please don't take offense. Okay. So then what you did is at 27, you decided that you wanted to go back to college.
Yes.
Now,
Well, there's a story
before we,
behind that, too. Okay? Sorry. Keep going.
sure, go ahead.
Okay. Well, there's a story behind how I actually got into college, which is kind of funny.
Okay.
One of my aunts, who was always had always told herself she wasn't smart, I think she had self-esteem issues too, decided that she's finally going back to college. So she went, and she would call me to help her with her English homework. I'm like, you're the one in college. Why are you calling me? But she called me. I helped her get an A. So she was like, why don't you go to school? I'm like, oh, I can't because I have this job, and there's all these reasons why. And she's like, bullshit. Why don't you just try to get financial aid, fill out an application to the school, and get off your butt and do it?
Yep.
So that's what I did. And, well, I went to visit my brother who just moved from Indiana. And I had either two choices. I was either going to go back to Indiana to live with him or start school. Which apparently God didn't want me to move to Indiana. Because I was accepted to BSU, where I'm currently going to school.
Okay, great. And what are you studying?
I'm an English major.
Okay, good. And what is your goals after school? What are you hoping to do with that degree?
I want to be a writer, but since I know that's hard to make a living writing, I want to also be a professor and teach English at the
Really?
college level. Yes.
Well, great. Well, that's awesome. And okay. Now, one of the things that you talk about is how you said once you started going to school that you wrote that a teacher and then also your advisor recommended that you do therapy. Now, I'm just wondering, why did they do that? What happened to make them, recommend that for you?
Okay. One of the essays I had to write, I decided to write about my childhood abuse. I didn't go into any detail, but I just wrote about how it wrecked my life. And I had a private conference with my instructor, and she's like, have you gotten therapy or anything help for this? I'm like, no, I don't really need help. She's like, it's okay if you ever decide you do. She gave me a list of numbers, and I'm like, okay, I'll think about it. Then I let one of my advisors read it, and she was like, are you sure you don't want to get help? She's like, here, I'll make the phone call for you. So she ended up calling her therapist and just got a voicemail. And a couple of days later, I decided, you know, I'm not going to let her, I shouldn't let her do everything for me. So I actually got up the gumption to send an email to one of the therapists listed, whose name's Dave, cool man. And I started seeing him.
Right. And okay, before you go on, so when you finally told your mom and, you know, and the family, did your mom and dad or your, did anybody else recommend you go to counseling at that time?
Yeah, my parents said, you know, if you ever feel like you need to go, we'll help you do it. I'm like, nah, I can handle it. I can just, you know, I'm okay with it now.
Oh, okay.
I just kept pushing it down and pushing it down and putting it off because I'm a bit of a procrastinator.
Mm-hmm.
Like, why deal with it today when I can deal with it in a month?
Right. Because, you know, the thing is, no matter what age you are after it happened, you know, it's still always part of your life. And,
mm-hmm.
and you know, I still have flashbacks of times that were really hard for me. And so, but I think it's good that, you know, that you do need to go to therapy. And I'm glad that you did. And so, I'm sorry to cut you off, but go ahead and tell us what that was like. And did it help you? Did it give you any comfort?
Oh, God, yes. But when I first went, the first couple sessions, it was like pulling teeth because I didn't want to talk about me. I was terrified. He'd ask me a question, and I'd give him a short answer, and that was it. On the third session, he said, okay, don't be afraid to talk. You don't have to wait for me to ask you a question to say something. So eventually, I just started, you know, took the chance to start speaking. And once I started talking, he couldn't shut me up. And I eventually started talking about all the issues I was having. Which, this is a really rough period. Because to get myself over it, I had to go back and experience it again. So,
yeah.
Oh, it affected my job. It was fun. But everyone at the work knew I was in therapy, but they didn't know why.
Yeah. Well, so what was the your therapist's reaction when you finally told him the truth?
Well, he thanked me very much, and he said, okay, first thing you need to know is it was not your fault. He's like, you need to accept that and own it. And it took me a long time to actually internalize it and accept, yes, I had nothing to do with it. I was a child. I couldn't stop it. Once I was able to accept that, it was like a weight was lifted off my shoulders.
Yeah, that's amazing. And also, I'm sorry?
It was a breakthrough moment.
Yeah, and see, that's what's so great about therapy is that once you're able to get that out and then be able to talk about your feelings and really be able to express it, and it went away, it's kind of like you're coming out. I mean, you're coming out about what had happened to you, and then because you felt so ashamed about it, you had all that repressed, you had the self-esteem issues, and then you were able to talk about it, you're able to get it out, and you're able to vocalize it. And then once you did, is like you said, that big weight was off your shoulders, and it really was a big moment for you. So I'm glad that that happened for you. So what happened the next time then? What was the next thing happened for you?
Therapy wise, or
yeah, therapy wise, because you mentioned that you realized that there was one thing that you weren't very honest with the therapist about. What was that?
We started discussing. You said that sometimes men who are molested have feelings towards men. And I wasn't ready to deal with any of that. So I was like, oh, no, I like women. Well, we're knowing that I'm full of shit. I'm attracted to men, not women.
Right.
Which is why I had, like, no dating life. I tried a few times. It was awkward, and I'm just not good at it.
Wow. And so did you, I was just curious, during high school and, you know, did you date any guys? Did you meet anybody? Did you do anything at all with men at all before this time?
No, I was in total denial. I kept telling myself, no, you don't like guys, you like girls. Look at Becky, she was my best friend at the time. He's like, you like her, which I did. I liked her and I loved her, but I wasn't an in love with her thing. You know, I loved her like a sister. There's absolutely no attraction there.
Did anybody give you any grief about that? About why don't you have a girlfriend? Or
all the time.
I heard, what would you say?
It's like, it's none of your business. and I'm just not dating anyone in high school. I don't like high school chicks. That was always my excuse. So you must be some kind of faggot. I'd be like, fuck you. That was one of my favorite responses.
Fuck you. Okay, everybody right now who's listening to the show, say it. Fuck you. Okay. It's good therapy. Okay. So then what happened?
Well, then eventually we pretty much went as far as we could with my therapy because I was pretty much healed. I wasn't having the problems I was before. I was a lot happier. We were contemplating trying to go after the guy, but I thought that would just, you know, drag up things in me that I didn't need to deal with again because I'd laid him aside. But there's still that part of me who wants to find him and like, get revenge. Not kill him or anything, although I discussed with some of my friends how we'd do it.
Wow.
But I wouldn't actually do it now. I'm confident.
Right. Wow. Okay, well, I think we're at about or a little over the 30-minute mark. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to go ahead and take a quick pause because I want to get into the next topic, and I know that's probably going to go a little longer than just a few minutes, so I'd like to go ahead and take a break here for the part one. But what I'd like to definitely, you know, thank you, Casey, for being so open and honest, not only with me, but also to the listeners, and I really appreciate, you know, you doing this, because I think that, you know, by you being honest about yourself and what happened, that again, maybe someone who's listening, you know, maybe they're going through the same thing, and maybe they just maybe felt the same way, and maybe they, you know, maybe this is going to give them encouragement to be vocal about it. Or if something like this did happen, that maybe they're going to be okay about getting the help, because obviously it was a big help for you, and that your family was very supportive in helping, you know, getting through that process. So again, thank you for having the courage and the strength and the time to do this. And what I'd like to do then is thank all my listeners for also taking the time to listen, because you all have very busy schedules and lives and things. And I just want to thank you for being part of the program. And I want to encourage you all to please do just like Casey did and email me and let me know that he's been listening to the show and letting me know that he got something out of it. And also to... you know, you can leave a comment on my website. You can call me on my comment line, which is 574-203-4263, as well as you can email me at rambleredhead@gmail.com. And again, we have many, many ways that you can communicate with me. And if you'd like to leave any messages for Casey, you know, please send them to my Gmail account and I will forward them to him, just like I do any comments that I receive from my guests. So again, thank you for being a big part of the program, and thank you for listening to the Ramble Redhead Show.